Today's gospel is from the 12th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 49 on page 848. Jesus says, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I left 2 weeks ago, we had Aloha Sunday. We're reminding us of a greeting of aloha, which is more than just hello or goodbye in Hawaii, but it really is an experience of saying, "I want to give you not just greeting, but love and peace and compassion and mutual understanding and respect." So all that is tied up in this word, aloha. Today, Jesus speaks about unity, not about aloha. It's about as contrary to the aloha message as you could get, is what Jesus is sharing today. All scriptures read today point to the real truth that following God will not always be well received by everyone. Terrible things have happened and currently are happening to Christians all over the planet. It's hard to understand why people react so vehemently negatively against Christians, against followers of Jesus. We come to find out today, because of what Jesus told us, we shouldn't be surprised by that. God's people have often been persecuted, tortured, cast down, disowned, and even murdered. Hate to break it to you, but we live in a hostile world. But when the world says, "No way," Yahweh, the name of God, the holy name of God, that God calls himself when Moses meets with God at the burning bush, when Moses asks God, "What is your name? Who shall I say is sending me?" And the Lord says through the bush, "Yahweh." But the word Yahweh, the name Yahweh, was so holy and is so holy for the Jewish people that they would not even attempt to pronounce it. And so when they would read in the scriptures and would come to that symbol, which looks like a symbol, but in Hebrew it's a Y, an H or a W, and another H. So it's kind of this, it's a Y, the H, then the W, and then the H. That's the four letters, and the vowels are the little parts up above and below. But when they saw that in their scriptures, they would replace it with the word Adonai, because that would give reverence to the holy name of God. But we, as children of God, as the followers of Jesus, through Jesus, we can use the name Yahweh. Beautiful thing about Yahweh is it also can be a breath prayer. Like you can go, "Yahweh." Try that. "Yahweh." You know, breath prayer calms us. It helps to slow our heart rate down. And that prayer, "Yahweh," is inviting the presence of God right with you, into you, and invoking his presence to be in your life. Breath prayer. Yahweh. It's just so wonderful that we can have God's calming presence, his abiding presence, his gentle presence in that moment when people oppose you because of your faith. You can remember, Yahweh, God is with you. When the world says no way, what do you say? Yahweh, thank you. We call Jesus the Prince of Peace. Jesus has come to bring God's peace. That's what he says, right? But we learn today the work of redemption inevitably brings division also. The work of the kingdom is characterized by reconciliation and peace, and the announcement of the kingdom is always divisive because it requires decision and commitment. In other words, when you say yes to Jesus, it means you say no to other things, like me first thinking. We're free in Christ, and you soon realize soon enough, that the things you are saying no to are far less fulfilling than saying yes to Jesus. Saying no to sin is giving up your right to do whatever you want, and saying no can be offensive to people, Jesus tells us. He says he will cast fire on the earth. Now, this announcement that he would do this was foreshadowed by John the Baptist when he claims in Jesus' baptism that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Division will precede reconciliation. So the announcement of the kingdom will not bring peace, at least not immediately. It will bring division and conflict. Those who commit themselves to Jesus must prepare for the opposition they will face, which even happens in your own families. And that's a tough one to swallow, I think. That says even your own kids and even your own family may be divided because of Christ. I was thinking about a little thing I thought of doing with the kids today, of that families who pray together, stay together. And you know, isn't that true? If you can pray about things, all things as a family, it's going to draw you closer together. But you also don't want to be, and that's the positive side of this, that you can hold your family together through prayer, through Christ. But my sermon title, Peace Over Platitude, is that at times you can't just give platitudes and calm everything over. There will be at times division and difficulty. The message, peace on earth, is not received without savage conflict. Crises will be marked by tragic divisions. Houses, families, and generations will be divided against one another. And these verses explore the other side of Revelation, which is commitment and the kingdom values. Wherever the word of God has been heard, division has occurred among the people who heard it, because some say yes and others say no way. Peace has a price too. The absence of conflict is not a present possibility. One can only choose the cause to which to fight and the commitments that are worth holding on to. So when the world says no way, what can we answer? Yahweh. What else is Jesus saying here? Well, he's giving a warning here, maybe more like a heads up, that any person who makes a commitment in one area of life, commitment to him, to Christ, will be persecuted. He warns that a person who makes a commitment to him will find their relationship to others, maybe even those closest to them, affected by that commitment. We cannot make a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord without it affecting the way we relate to friends and to family members, because our commitment to Christ shapes our values, priorities, goals, and behavior. It also forces us to change old patterns of life, and it causes to precipitate crisis in significant relationships. I remember hearing a story about a man who took the Alpha Course, and the Alpha Course in England is a course just really introducing people to the Christian faith. And this guy was, his life was falling apart. He was drinking heavily. His wife was divorcing him. He'd been kicked out of his house, and kind of as a last, maybe just try something new, I'll go to this course on Christianity. Well, on the course, especially on this weekend away, which is inviting the Holy Spirit to guide and direct a person's life, he encountered Christ, he believed in Christ, and he was absolutely transformed. So much so that he felt like a brand new person. And he was, because he stopped drinking. And he wanted to reconnect with his wife. His wife was very, very skeptical. She said, okay, first it was golf, then it was sailing, and then it was, you know, drinking all the time through that, and now it's Jesus? I don't think so. And she didn't let him move in right away. But as they saw his life continue on, she was interested and intrigued. And eventually she saw that he really had changed and helped him, invite him back into their home. Their boys were delighted. They made a little cross in the yard, and they came to it and prayed and thanked Jesus every day for bringing their daddy back home to them. And then they started reading the Bible. And one of the little boys says, whose name was Samuel, he said, this is a great book. My name is in it, not once, but twice. You know, Christ changes lives, and it does cause changes in our relationship. That's a positive example. But there will be some unexpected crises that we will face when we believe in Jesus, set out to perceive to be do the good or the moral or the right thing to do. And Jesus himself knew how devastating such crises can be, and he warned his followers to be prepared to encounter them also. You know Alice Cooper, the rocker? Well, he had a dark secret. Over 20 years ago, he became a Christian. Alice, the rock star, the sensational rock star, famous for rock and roll and rebellion and dark topics. He said in an interview, it wasn't easy combining religion and rock. He said, it was the most rebellious thing I've ever done. Drinking beer is easy. Trashing a hotel room is easy. But being a Christian, that's a tough call. That's real rebellion. I heard an interview with Alice Cooper, the man Jonathan Romey, who plays Jesus in The Chosen, met with Alice Cooper, who actually lives here in Phoenix. And he told them this, that when he became a Christian and had to say no to the music that he had basically built his career on, that he would continue playing, his agent said to him, this is going to ruin you. Your career is over. But when he met his gentle Savior, he could see no other way forward and placed his life in Christ's hands. If you remember, Denny Hansen worked at the golf course, Desert Canyon Golf Course, and he was one of those guys that would greet people when they came in off the course and put their clubs away. And Alice Cooper came many times to golf there, and Denny said he was just an incredible person, so kind, so generous, so wonderful. Debbie and Tom's grandson frequents the Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Teen Center in Phoenix. And it's an amazing place for teens to go and learn music. They can do recordings. They can hang out. Alice Cooper likely offended a lot of people when he converted to Christianity, which caused division. The people that probably didn't like him anymore. But as Jesus said, three against two, two against three. This is going to happen. But oh, the change Christ made in him and how that change has affected so many for Christ. The world may say no way. To that we answer, Yahweh. Jesus in this passage places before us an eyes wide open view of a new reality of life with him. Do you think, he says, I've come to bring peace on earth? I tell you no, rather division. Division will come, but it probably will precede reconciliation. The announcement of the kingdom would not bring peace, at least not immediately. It would bring division and conflict, and those who commit themselves to Christ must prepare to face opposition from even those closest to them. You probably heard it said that you become the most like the five people you spend the most time with. So you think about, oh, who do I hang out with? Who are the people that I spend the most time with? When a person becomes a Christian, they really evaluate that and go, ooh, these friends are kind of leading me in a dark path. I don't want to go there. And they hopefully meet new friends, and they hopefully meet people or convert their other friends to Christianity. But it will affect, your commitment to Jesus will affect the people you hang around with. It will affect the movies that you'll want to see. You might start watching a movie and going, oh, I don't like this. It's offensive. Or this is just dark. It'll affect the way you speak, your language. Clean it up a bit. It'll affect your drinking habits. It'll affect your relationships. But when you experience the rejection, difficulties, challenges in your life because of Jesus, look to him and breathe. When the world says, no way, Yahweh. The concluding word from Romans, this verse is so worthy to memorize. As he concludes chapter 11 with these words that all these people, he lists this whole long, the entire chapter is people who have been of faith and follow God, and God has shown him their way through it. And he said, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, and apart from us, they should be made perfect. And then this verse, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When things seem to fall apart in your life, maybe because of your faith, remember these promises, that we look to Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, so that we can run with endurance the race that's marked before us, that he has called us to. And through our lives, pray that those folks who are maybe initially offended see something different about us and are curious and decide to learn more about Jesus, who we know. Let us pray. Lord, your word today was a hard one to absorb because we want peace in our families. We want good relationships with the people we care about. And yet you tell us a very awkward truth that even though you are the Prince of Peace and you are forgiving and you call everyone to faith, your message is not always received with joy. May be met with scorn or with distrust or feeling like it's a judgmental message. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us the ability to speak peace, not just to platitude things, to ease things over, to speak truth, but also to speak it in love. So thank you that you are the perfecter and founder of our faith. May we have the joy of the Lord with us to continue us and carry us through all that life brings to us. In Jesus' name, amen.